One of Stephen Sondheim's most beloved and award-winning musicals, A Little Night Music, offers an amusing and farcical tale of unexpected liaisons, relentless desire, and ill-fated heartbreak in the life of acclaimed actress Desiree Armfelt. In the Berkshire Theatre Group production of A Little Night Music, currently running at the Colonial Theatre in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, Desiree Armfelt is played by renowned actress, vocalist, and Berkshire native Maureen O'Flynn, one of my favorite guests and human beings. It's also directed by Ethan Hurd, and Maureen and Ethan join us now. Welcome to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always great to see you.
It's always great to be here, Joe. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Let me begin with you, Maureen. How is it going?
It couldn't be better. It's actually, I think, one of my most favorite shows I've ever done, and I'm starting to realize that Desiree is going to be probably my favorite role of a lifetime.
Wow. What makes it that way?
I'm not sure, but I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm finally playing something that's someone who's almost age appropriate. and also really close to my character, my own character.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
And how much of it do you think is Sondheim?
How much of what do I think is Sondheim?
I'm feeling so comfortable that you love this role.
Well, I think that this is his best musical, and it's so brilliantly written musically as well as the book scenes. So a lot of it is Sondheim. A lot of it is Sondheim. The humanity in this show is exhilarating.
So, Ethan, what is it like, and what are the challenges of directing such humanity?
Well, it's a big cast. It's a big ensemble, and it's a lot of beautiful, complicated characters, ages 14 through 80.
Right.
So it's getting inside the imaginations of many different people and bringing to life a lot of sexual energy and romance. I sort of had to fall in love with every actor in the company and figure out what they needed from me and how to get them all into the same production.
Is that challenging to do that?
Well, it was. I mean, also, this company is so experienced that they bring to the table so much wisdom and intelligence that made it easy, actually. that kind of teamwork came really beautifully.
I think this is actually turning out to be one of those rare moments of grace, the kind of shows that are put together with an ensemble and a production and people that gel together and ends up reminding us all of why we are still doing this.
I want to see you. I can't see you.
I can't see you either.
There you go.
There you are, Joe.
All right. I feel
way better.
It's very weird. We have these microphones and they have what are called mic flags, but it's almost like a billboard in front of you, and I can't see through mine to see Maureen, and then Maureen has one in front of her, so it makes it especially difficult. So
now we see each other. It's going to be way better conversation.
Absolutely. Well, I love looking and seeing you and talking to you. Okay, so. I think when you do something like this, what has been the case over the last couple summers at the Colonial and through the Berkshire Theatre Group is that you get a big show and you get to play with it for longer than you normally would in a summer theatre thing, right?
Well, you know, we're kind of sad that it's a little on the short side.
It really is.
This particular run is, I think, by maybe 4 or 5 days, I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It feels short, which is a good thing, as opposed to it feels
long. I was looking
long.
At June 30th through July 19th, I guess that's normal.
Yeah, with good use.
And we started June 9th. I think.
Working on it.
Right.
So it was fast and
It was
furious.
A very fast production period, especially for a show this big. Very fast.
The good thing about it is that the work is sort of spread out. So Maureen has huge scenes and big songs, but everyone gets to carry the burden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone has their moment.
Yeah.
Everyone
so you
does
get to work on
it,
and you get to work on those, I assume, separately until they come. It all comes together.
Exactly.
When you're doing, how do you vocally get ready for a role like this?
Well, I actually don't sing that much in this piece. I have one number in the beginning that I'm singing very, very low, and I have Send in the Clowns at the end. So I was saying to a friend, this is the first show that I actually had to warm down for. So I don't do much warming up because the first part is basically lower than my speaking voice, and the second part's somewhere around my speaking voice. So I don't have to do so much. It's actually been fairly relaxing for me musically.
That's
which
good.
Is a little bit strange.
It's summer. Take a vacation. Yeah. You know,
until we did, it was odd. It was hard to be a part of the ensemble for the first few days until we did the dining room scene where all seven characters are finally sitting at the table talking to each other. And then I felt, now I'm part of the ensemble. Now
right.
I get it.
Now you're part of the group.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure they felt the same way.
I hope they did.
Yeah. And is that, and I guess that's a unique way to work, right? Because it's a little more time. I mean, I would think there were pluses and minuses to that of having time with individual actors working on their scenes and then bringing it all together as opposed to, you know, herding cats from the very beginning.
Right. We did our first read through mm-hmm. on the first day, and then we started working through the show chronologically, actually in two rooms. So we had music rehearsals going on down the road
mm-hmm.
And staging rehearsals in our main space.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really great when everyone started coming together and we ran the first act together, I think maybe 5 or 6 days.
Yeah,
in.
It was quick. It was quick.
And so you're running back and forth then?
Well, Nathan, my music director, our music director, was down the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you were worried about the, well, all of it. You know.
He's in charge.
Yeah. It's does this show get its due, do you think, of
being played?
Yeah, being played of...
I think no is the answer to that. I mean, I actually didn't realize how brilliant this show was until I started to get into it. I think it should be being done much more, and I'm actually surprised that opera companies aren't doing it more than they are, although Houston just did it, and I think they're going to start to bring it back. Maybe because it's so big, it's big production values, maybe that's why it doesn't get done as much. I don't know. What do you think, Ethan?
Well, it is a glamorous show.
It is a glamorous show.
And it does require an elegant production. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons we're so proud of it is that in the Colonial Theater, it just fits like a glove.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
It's such a jewel. I mean, it's an older theater that works perfectly for Desiree and her whole troupe. I mean, it adds to the flavor.
The big red curtain, the
big
theater
red curtain,
boxes.
The theater boxes.
Everything feels right.
The sconces on the walls. And it's really beautiful to the eye and ear. It's gorgeous.
What is so when this is done at the end of the month, then what's next for you? Are you
then I'm going to go into deep depression?
Okay.
Seriously,
mine has already started.
This will
because
be hard.
Opening.
This will be difficult to say goodbye to. Really difficult to say goodbye to.
But you always have it in you, right? I mean,
yeah.
You would be ready if the phone rang and said, okay, let's do this. Let's do this in Dallas
in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
And do you find that, are there other roles that you feel like you have in your pocket and you say, I'm ready to go?
Certainly in my operatic repertoire, absolutely. A couple of theater roles, but I haven't gotten enough under my belt yet to feel that way about, and plus, you know, I'm in a different space now, Joe. I'm in a bizarre world where I'm not an ingenue and I'm not a grandmother. So it's going to be interesting for me to find roles like this that I'm able to do.
How much of that do you worry about?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's tough for women, period, out there in any of the performing arts, whether it's opera, whether it's theater and film. You know, once you hit a certain age, you end up being not as marketable.
And in the few roles that you are, that you're able to play, then there's such competition because there's so many other people who are in that.
Yes,
I mean,
damn
is that
it
right?
All.
I mean, that's, is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, one hopes you've got something special to bring to the table, and that will make the difference. I'm where Desiree is.
Yeah.
I'm an older actor, and things are changing. I'm changing, and how do you reinvent? Where do you go from here?
Is that less so in the operatic world?
No, not anymore. I'm very sad to say. Up until about 10 or 15 years ago, opera singers were happily singing into their 60s, some into their 70s. That changed about 10 years ago, where they want younger, and they want. Once a singer hits about 45, things start to change for them, which never used to be the norm. So there's a whole generation of us that were retired early.
Yeah, and your voice hasn't changed.
My voice hasn't changed. It has changed in that it's gotten bigger. It's gotten darker. I think that I'm
but not negatively
still
changed.
At the no. I think I'm still at the top of my game, but the business disagrees.
Yeah, that must be infuriating.
It is infuriating, and it's actually a grieving process to go through because it's like a lover, your beloved has just taken another lover, and yeah. You have to go elsewhere.
So, Ethan, and in the directing front, I mean, how much of that is taken in consideration, and what I mean, do you see that as sort of the business forces kind of take over in the casting?
In terms of women aging?
Yeah, I mean, of getting the people.
Why did you look
want.
At me when you said women aging?
I think he was uncomfortable and just wanted to look anywhere other than at me.
And
upset that I moved the mic flag that
well,
was
actually,
in front of
me. One of the things about this show is that I think there is some flexibility in the terms of how you cast it. Because in the movie,
yes,
in the Bergman
true.
Film, Desiree was probably 33.
Right.
But Hugh Wheeler and Sondheim, I think, reimagined the ages of some of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Desiree's child in the movie is a 2-year-old
mm-hmm.
or something.
Yeah.
And in the play, she's 14. So, but it was interesting, you know, Maureen was the first actor cast in this production. So we, I think, worked off of Maureen
yeah.
in a way. So the other casting decisions were all based on Maureen's presence.
Yeah,
it's true. I think Desiree can be played in her early 40s or in her late through her late 50s. I mean, it depends because it's as long as she's believable enough to be young enough to have a 14-year-old child, it's fine.
Right.
And if Frederick is of her age, then it works.
And not to stir the pot anymore, I already have because I don't mean that. But I just want to get a handle on this so people understand. But so Frederick could be played by somebody 60 or 40. There's more flexibility.
I think Frederick has to be over 45, don't you?
Yeah. Well, he has an 18-year-old son, 19-year-old
yeah,
son.
Yeah. So and he's older than Desiree, I think.
And Frederick and Desiree had an affair, had a romance. Mm-hmm. 14 years ago.
Right.
Okay. And that, so. And that's in the fictional world of the play, but I'm talking mm-hmm. about in the real life
oh,
of casting it for the future. Are they going to give men more slack of it being an older leading man than they would of the of
Well,
the
of course they always do. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
That's what I was stirring.
There it
the
is.
For. That's
there
what
it
I
is.
Wanted.
That pot is considered
All
stirred.
Right. Excellent. this is a delightful production. I assume you're having a great time. Now it's up and right. You said your morning process has already started because
yeah.
it's open, right?
You had to give it away.
It has, yeah. It belongs to them now. but I get to come back and sit back and watch and enjoy and share it with friends and family. My mom's coming tonight.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. That's really fun. So, Nelsie, if I were directing and that were me, I would say, you would feel like you would have to say to the cast, you know, My mom's in, don't screw it up.
Yeah, don't have a good
you
one
know,
tonight.
Unite, it, mom's in the house. Yeah, the Berkshire Theater Group production of A Little Night Music runs at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield through July 19th. For more information, you can go to berkshiretheatergroup.org, berkshiretheatergroup.org. Maureen O'Flynn, it's always a pleasure to have you here. At the
Thank
White.
You.
Love having you here.
For me too, Joe.
And Ethan Hurd, thank you very much for being with us, and congratulations on the great work and a wonderful production.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.